Next case, please.
Case number 13041, Delmarva Armory LLC seeks a special use exception for a rifle and pistol range. Section 115-23A and 115-25 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the north side of East Line Road in Millsboro. The 911 address is 38531 Parker Road in Millsboro. The zoning district is AR1, tax parcel district 333, map 15, parcel 20. We have zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition. I'm lying about the support. Support was in the, I think, in the applicants.
Okay.
I didn't have the number. There's letters of support submitted by the applicant. We didn't receive any additional letters.
All right. Mr. Smith, Mr. Sharp will get you sworn in.
I'm not sure they'll all testify, but it makes sense to go ahead and swear them all in if you would.
Understood. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
It's Jeffrey Baney, 26179 Manor Way, Georgetown, Delaware.
Thank you.
Lloyd Baney, 18 Roos Street, Selbyville, Delaware.
Thank you.
Chad Baney, 24644 Peterkins Road, Georgetown, Delaware.
And do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? All right, thank you.
Present your case.
Thank you. Good evening, members of the board, planning and zoning staff. My name is Mike Smith. I am an attorney with the Smith Firm, and I'm here this evening on behalf of the applicant, Delmarva Armory LLC. And the gentlemen who have just introduced themselves are members of the Baney family. They are the principal members of the applicant entity tonight. Also, some folks in the audience, which I'm not going to call, but will be speaking. There are some police officers here with us tonight, and I appreciate them coming. I did threaten Mr. Hutt that if he, actually I didn't threaten him, I told him if he presented in less than 5 minutes, I'd promise him to get out of jail free card in Lewis. I didn't have the authority to make that promise, so I'm glad that he didn't. So I will try to be brief as well, but the application tonight is just isolated to an outdoor rifle and pistol range on the property that we are discussing tonight. And I did submit the PowerPoint presentation with this one, I assume. And I guess I could, am I going to be able to move through it with this at the risk of breaking the county's computer system? Yes, I can. Okay. So just a brief overview. That's the same information that was read as the introductory statement for this. The slide that follows is going to just highlight the property itself. So the owner of this particular property is Over the Hill Holding LLC. That's an entity that acquired the property in June of 2019. That entity is owned by the Baney family as well. The matriarch and patriarch of the family are the owners of that one. The operator and the applicant tonight is Delmarva Armory LLC. That entity has been formed since 2018, but this is the sole location that they've operated from. So they began their operations around 2019 at this particular facility. As I mentioned, the principal members involved in all of the various entities are the Baney family, Lloyd and Deborah being matriarch and patriarch, and Jeff and Chad being the children here with me tonight that operate the Range Time business. Delmarva Armory operates under a business name, Range Time, so if I use that interchangeably, it would be the same entity there that's in existence. Some background on this particular application. The Baneys did appear before this board for a special use exception back in 2018, and they were granted that exception, but the application at that time was only for an indoor range, and they did construct that facility. The evidence that was presented at that particular time suggested that that would have no adverse effect on any of the neighboring properties, and that has certainly been the case. That special exception was for 5 years. Prior to the expiration of that five-year period, the Over the Hill Holdings entity did apply for a conditional use at the county level. Due to the backlog, it stayed in the queue for over 2 years. I think it was about 2 years on that. And as of last year, was granted a conditional use for the indoor range. There is not one for the outdoor range, but the indoor range has a permanency based on that. We are seeking a five-year special exception for the outdoor portion now. The general location of the property, you'll see it's somewhat smaller there, but in the bottom is the state line dividing Delaware and Maryland. The prior applications were talking about the forgotten mile down, as you know it, in the beach, but this maybe is more along the lines of a forgotten mile being in a very rural area of Sussex County. You're probably familiar with the Cypress Swamp, which would be just off the right of the image there, and that is about 2 miles away from the site. Gumboro proper, to the extent that there is a, I think it's an unincorporated municipality, would be just to the north of the site there. Something of relevance is the arrow is pointing towards a parcel that nearly abuts the one that we're talking about tonight in the northeast corner of our parcel, southwest corner of the other parcel. That particular one parcel was the subject of an application that came before this board recently in 2024 by Whiskey Ridge, which is a shooting preserve, and they were granted approval in September of 2024. In listening to the public record for that particular application, I heard them say that they have a U-shaped berm that is approximately 20 feet in height around their outdoor range. Their outdoor range holds up to 14 shooters. The particular range that we're talking about tonight on my client's parcel only holds 10, and I'll show you some photographs of all that. And the shooting preserve on the Whiskey Ridge parcel has been in operation since 1998. If you were to draw a line across the corner of those two properties, they're only about 400 feet apart. On the ground, how that may look, if you were standing where the, it says applicant's property, that is the beginning of one of the berms for the outdoor range that we're seeking approval for tonight, which I will show some better pictures of. And in the background or up higher on the photograph is the approved special use for Whiskey Ridge. The property is actually right there. It's very hard to see, but you'll notice under the caption at the top, there's a structure out in the field there. By no way am I being critical of their application, by the way. I'm just merely pointing this out based on proximity. But if you're standing on my client's property, you can actually see a shooting apparatus that they're using on that other property as it's been approved within sight of this. So obviously sound would carry across the properties as well. As far as the county's comp plan, this would be the 2045 future land use map in the comp plan. And I've drawn some squares, or maybe more appropriately rectangles, around the sections of the mapping on the left-hand side as far as the color coding would be concerned, and the distinguishing between the growth areas and the rural areas on the mapping. And I would be typical that an applicant seeking approval from the county would be trying to highlight an area being densely populated as part of their application. This one is a bit of a unique circumstance where we are focused on the rural nature of the property and its isolation from others. So the arrow that I have that I inserted at the bottom in blue points to where the property is located. The large green block to the right of that would be the Cypress Swamp area. So if one were to try to pick in a map of Sussex County the spot that is furthest away from any of the yellow, red, or brown colors and mostly isolated to the white and green colors, it would seem to me that you end up exactly at the property where we are talking about the applicant tonight. This was a bit of a mind-numbing task that I undertook on my own, but Google Earth will allow you to draw a circle around a particular area, and I did that on a 2.5 mile radius away from the property that we're talking about tonight. Once it drew that 2.5 mile radius, which is equal to 20 square miles or over 12,500 acres, I dropped a pin on every structure that appeared to me to be a residential house. Then the system would count the number of those houses. Now, I couldn't affirm to you that this is to the house correct. The county probably has a system that would allow them to do that more accurately. But by my count, there's 274 houses in that 12,000, excuse me, let me clarify. I only counted Delaware. I didn't count the Maryland side. So it's actually half of that, 6,250 acres on the Delaware side. It's actually a little north of that, because if you see on the right-hand side of my circle, it shows the radius line, but that radius line is just north of the state line. So better than 50% is encompassed within the Delaware area. And within that calculation, you end up with, on average, one home per 22.81 acres of land. Again, a very rural and secluded area of the county. This map would just show you the zoning in the area, again, to confirm or support what I'm suggesting about the rural nature. Here again, you can see Cypress Swamp much better with the map being moved out further. The only higher zoned areas would be the GR zoning in Gumboro, and then there is some C1 there as well, right along the strip in Gumboro, and the gray being your industrial. But in reality, if you've obviously been through Gumboro, you realize that's not a very well-developed commercial area. It's still very rural in nature. And the entire Gumboro proper area was encompassed within the circle that I drew for the houses, incidentally, as well. So that would include that municipality. The application tonight, again, I'm just distinguishing on the right-hand side, the blue square or rectangle that's drawn around that would be the existing indoor facility. While that is not the subject of the application tonight, I'm sure that the Baineys would welcome any of you to see their facility. It is state of the art, and it's really impressive to see the indoor range and how they operate that. The outdoor range would be in the upper left corner. This image is oriented with north being to the left and east being up. This would be just, again, an orientation image showing the intersection of Parker Road and East Line Road, which would be the state line there. That building to the right is the indoor existing range. That range facility is about, let me double check my numbers on this, but, and these gentlemen can probably correct me, I think it's about 14,000 square feet of in the indoor range. Okay, 14,800 square feet in the indoor range, which again isn't necessarily relevant tonight, but I thought it worthy of mentioning. Here is off of Parker Road, as you enter into the property and towards the outdoor range, that white building that you see in the background will be the outdoor range building that I will show some better photographs of. But what's most relevant here is if you look in the left image, on the left-hand side, you'll see a blue arrow, and it is oriented to the left of those lines of trees that you see there, the green arborvitae trees. That's the property line. Those trees are located on my client's property. And within the inside of that is a ditch in that natural vegetated area that exists there as well. One thing that, excuse me, my client has proffered a willingness to do, and they have actually already committed to ordering 2,000 trees that they intend to plant in the 100-foot area between the property line and the outdoor range. So that would be within just to the right of the natural grass area that you see on the left image. The and the boundaries of the property were established by a survey done by Miller Lewis in 2012. There haven't been any changes in that boundary survey since then, so that line to the left of the arborvitae trees would still be the established line. There's been no revisions to that. The building that you do see for the outdoor range is about 2,225 square feet. I actually have some plans and prints for the building that I had not included in my application. I can submit them in just a moment, but I'll keep going so that I don't derail where I am with this now. The building itself is only open in the back. You're going to see that in the photographs, but as you approach it here, it is block sides on what I will call the front right and left. There is only one personnel door. There's no windows on that. There also is an intercom and a camera system that ties that building to the main range facility. So no one is permitted to enter into that unless a licensed and certified range officer is present. It's not for open use. They would have to essentially intercom to the front or come to the front building, and then a range officer would go down with them to permit them access into the building. I'll show you how you enter it in a moment. These photographs, if you'll look first at the top image, it's got overlaid three numbers going from right to left, 1, 2, and 3, and they are approximately centered on the four houses that are located along Parker Road adjacent to this property. Image one was taken, I took it by myself, from the center, approximately the center of house one. And what you'll see is that you can only see about half of the range building. The opening to the range building, because it is actually enclosed, would be to the left and fully within inside the berm. As you progress to images two and three, you can see that you lose entire visibility of the building. You can't see it at all. I couldn't fit them all on one slide, so the fourth house is the bottom image on the left. Once again, the berm exceeds the height of the building, and you cannot see it out the back from standing midway in their house. And these pictures were taken from the Range Time property just inside of the natural vegetated buffer that exists today. The one last image that you'll see up in the top left is some pilings that my client has secured. I would call them power poles or telephone poles. Those are secured in anticipation of better stabilizing the berm. There is not much risk today that the berm would fall down or would degrade substantially. However, these pilings, if put in there, would further stabilize it and actually allow it to increase in height and also allow for vegetation to be better stabilized on that as well. As far as the isolation of the range from any existing structures, this is just a Google Earth image, and you'll see the image was not dated early enough to actually have the building on it, but it had the berms. So what I did is measure from the interior portion of the western berm, which would be the one closest to the homes, over to the nearest structure on any of those properties, that structure being an outbuilding, not actually a residence. The distance of isolation there exceeds 350 feet on that. The berm that you see in that image is similar in shape to what was applied for at Whiskey Ridge. It is a U-shaped berm, although we believe it's much larger in size and better equipped than perhaps the one that's there. The berm itself is 330 feet, give or take, long. It is 150 feet wide, and it's more than 20 feet tall, 22. With the stabilization of the poles, it would actually be in excess of that. The EPA actually talks about best management practices for those types of berms. And I'll read a section of a publication that they have that was last revised in June of 2005, although to my knowledge, it's the most current one. And it talks about best management practices for lead at outdoor shooting ranges. What was of significance here is that the EPA says that for outdoor ranges, it's helpful to target sites that don't have any natural wetlands. The idea is to avoid the lead getting into any natural aquifers. There are no tax ditches and there are no natural wetlands on this site. To the extent that the stormwater pond is a wetland, it's man-made and it was done by my clients, however it's isolated. The EPA does say that it does not endorse any bullet containment design as being better than another. And it talks about earthen berms and backstops. It says perhaps the most common bullet containment system at rifle and pistol ranges is the earthen backstop, which is earthen material, i.e. sand, soil, etc., which is located directly behind the targets. The earthen backstop is generally between 15 and 20 feet high with a recommended slope as steep as possible. That is what my clients have done in this case, probably exceeding that because I believe their berm is actually right around 22 feet currently, with the intention of perhaps making that even greater. One thing worth noting, the berm that's located to the west, or the one closest to the houses, is actually higher than the one that is to the east. And that was done intentionally because, as I'm not a sound guy, but as I understand it, noise will take the path of least resistance. So if the berm is higher on the left-hand side, it will cause more noise to migrate to the east versus towards the closest homes. As an aside, I did look at some of the other applications that have come before the board as far as outdoor shooting ranges. And as I suspect you are familiar, back in 2023, the board approved another outdoor range that was for, I think it was members of the Dukes family, but it was East Coast Defense. And in looking at that property, the distance of isolation from the outdoor range to the closest house is very similar to what we're dealing with here today in this application. As far as statutory background for that isolation distance, there are three statutes that I'm aware of in the Delaware Code. The first one, found in Title VII, indicates that you cannot discharge a firearm within 15 yards of a public roadway. We are well outside of that at this range. The bottom statute in Title 16 says that you can't discharge a firearm on a roadway or into a roadway. Again, that's not happening here because of the berm around it and the location of the outdoor range. The last statute, and perhaps most important, is again in Title VII, and it indicates that a firearm can't be discharged within 100 yards of a dwelling. That statute is actually focused at hunting or trapping and not general firearm discharge, but if we likened it to the same scenario, we still satisfy that condition because it's more than 100 yards from the closest structure on those neighboring properties. As far as the neighbors outside of those four homes that we've been talking about, if you look to the west and immediately to the east, there are two somewhat larger farm tracts. They are both owned by Moore Farms, Inc., and the principal member of that is Glenn Moore, Jr. Mr. Moore has submitted us a letter in full support of this application, which I have attached in the materials, and the images on the right-hand side just show the county tax map outline of the two properties that he would own. As far as progressing into the outdoor range, I'll try to go quickly through this, but the building, again, this is a bit of a closer view of it on the right-hand side, showing you that there is one personnel door to access what I'm calling the front of the building. So someone would come in, there is a fence area isolating the parking lot so they can't just freely walk around the building. They would enter through that single personnel door. Again, it's shown here and more so on the right-hand side just to indicate that there is no openings on the building. Once again, you'll see the berm exceeds the height of the building, even at a close proximity to it. The berm, once you're inside the range portion, the image on the left-hand side is again illustrating the height and significance of that berm. This photograph was taken within the last month. My timeline's kind of running together. The last couple weeks, I would say. I took it, so I know. I'm actually standing maybe halfway up the berm on the east side, looking back towards the houses along Parker Road. So even at halfway up the berm, you can see that you cannot see those houses over this berm. The right image is showing you somewhat, you can see that the right berm is marginally lower than the left, again, for sound mitigation reasons. Talking about cleanup or lead cleanup at the range, the Baneys have a standing contract with a Florida-based company called Range Cleaners, and their methods for cleaning the indoor range are interesting. They actually have some videos online. You could watch it if you were curious yourself, but with an indoor range, they will come in with hazmat suits and some equipment, and they will pull down the ballistic matting or rubber matting and recycle out the metal from that and place it all back. There's a heck of a process, and apparently it's a very lucrative business to be in if you wanted to. That same company will clean the outdoor range as well. So they will come in and, as I understand it, sift through the dirt, pull out the metal that is encapsulated within the dirt, remove it, and then replace the dirt at that point in time. That only becomes necessary, as I understand it, when the amount of projectiles in that dirt become basically compact to make a solid. So essentially you don't want a bullet to hit it and then move. So once there's enough in there, they will come clean it out and do that. Apparently this company does it on a countrywide level. So they will cycle through all the companies that have firing ranges and take care of that. Showing one more time, this is the back of the indoor range. So it highlights the fact that this again is an isolated building. Quickly go through here. So the top two images are standing downrange. The left image would be the left side of the range. And when I say left side, I'm talking about as if you're entering it from the front or from the personnel door. So from the shooter's perspective, that would be the left side. On the left side of the range, there are four wooden shooting benches. On the right side of the range, there are six lanes which have carts in them and are a little bit smaller or narrower on that side. Every one of these ranges has ballistic matting that is around them on left, ceiling, and they are actually, I believe by my calculations, 15.4 feet in from the outer envelope of the building. So you are shooting from an entirely encapsulated location. You can see that from the orientation of the bottom images where the shooter might be, and you can see as well that there are cement block walls that isolate each one of these shooting positions. And there's also a center cement wall that isolates the left and the right-hand side. In the top right image, that ballistic matting that extends further out would be the center wall that divides the left and the right portions of the range. When you enter into the facility from that single personnel door on the left-hand side that I've been talking about, you will see that you enter into a smaller room that you have to clear first in order to go in. If you turn to the right, you'll see this small desk and a computer system that you would be logged in with. Again, that's tied to the surveillance system. The left-hand side, if you were to turn, would just be a restroom that's located out there. And then once you pass through that door, you would enter into the actual range area. One thing that I didn't mention on the last slide that's worthy to note, the shooting in the outdoor range is restricted. These gentlemen do not allow anybody to shoot a round that will go over 3,000 feet per second, and you also are not allowed to bring in any hand loads into the range. So this is factory ammunition or ammunition that will shoot less than 3,000 feet per second. This is another image, but this time it is as you enter in through as a shooter would, the yellow line on the left image being the line you would cross if you were actually firing, the red line on the right image being a safety line that you could not pass. You'll also notice that there's a barrier there that would prevent anybody from going downrange anyway, which is not permitted incidentally, obviously, for safety reasons. One more image looking downrange, you can once again see that there's no line of sight to any of the homes. The area in the rear of the prop or the rear of the range, downrange, is a forested strip that exists there. And actually, if you were firing, if this wasn't there and there was a clear line of sight, you'd be firing directly, near directly into the outdoor range that was approved for Whiskey Ridge. It's in the same line of angle there. Going to let these folks speak a little bit more because I know that they're here and been very patient tonight, but the range facility is utilized by a number of police forces. These gentlemen can talk more about why that is and the necessity of the range, but as I understand it, there is a critical need for this type of facility in Sussex County because the municipalities, as I understand, are not permitted to use the Delaware State Police training facilities, and they have to qualify for the use of firearms themselves. They can only do that with certain facilities in play, this being one of them. So the seven police forces that you see listed there are ones that regularly train at the range time facility. Something to note here, range time is closed to the public on Mondays. They did that intentionally to open themselves up for use by police forces. So the only people that can use their facilities indoor and out are police officers or police agencies on Mondays. And that was done intentionally because, you know, obviously the public shouldn't be seeing the training exercises that the police are doing. Nor should they, it subjects them to a risk if the police are doing downrange training and things like that. So they're given a bit more discretion, and they have obviously safety officers and training that's necessitated for doing that. Just a quick snippet from some of the officers. The city of Lewis has written a letter. I just highlighted a couple blurbs from this where they support use of the facility. Read them aloud for the record. The need for this is the Lewis Police Department was briefly utilizing another indoor range but was unable to complete training up to standards to ensure each officer was trained adequately at this other location due to not having an outdoor range space and long yardage to train to our needs. The benefit here is having both the indoor and outdoor ranges accessible to the Lewis Police Department has allowed us to elevate our training, which in turn elevates the service we can provide to our community and the Sussex County region in general. Similarly, here for South Bethany, the need for this, Sussex County does not have a police academy, training facility, or shooting range for our officers to meet training requirements. This results in municipal police departments struggling to find a location to train their police officers without traveling long distances. The benefit of the range time facility is that range time provides both indoor and outdoor shooting ranges, classrooms, and training rooms. Range time has provided a solution to a critical problem by providing a location to safely train and educate our police officers in meeting the rigorous demands required to fulfill their duties. Lastly, I have Milton Police Department here. Once again, the need here with the limited shooting ranges in Sussex County, range time is a necessity, To have both an indoor and outdoor facility at the same location is amazing. The material benefit with the new outdoor range having targets at 100 yards, which is the maximum range that outdoor range has. It's a 100-yard range. This also allows myself to ensure our department, our departmental patrol rifles are properly sighted in. Working at a small department with limited staffing, ensuring that my officers can shoot on the day scheduled is crucial. So as stated previously, having the option of an indoor and outdoor range is paramount, as well as what I believe to be a necessity. Some other notable organizations that have used this facility, I'll just kind of highlight that, you know, Mount Air does a lot of training for their employees, which they have a great number of. Range Time has a lot of certified folks who are USCCA certified. The CCDW acronym there stands for Concealed Carry Deadly Weapon, and the HQL stands for Handgun Qualification License, I believe that's right. So multiple states of licensing, as well as the facility offers training for hunters education, which is a requirement. So one thing I may have neglected to touch on is that being that this is in a rural area, AR1 district, as far as being low density, one of the uses in the comp plan would be those that favor agricultural businesses. Training hunters and wildlife management would go along that line in allowing folks to farmers tend to be the ones that are most likely to want hunting and want some mitigation of the deer damage that they're suffering on their farms. These, real quick, are just to illustrate that the licensing that's necessary for the operation is in place. Going left to right through these three images, the one on the left is the ATF Federal Firearms License. The middle image is the ATF Special Tax Stamp. And the one on the right would be the Delaware Division of Professional Regulations Firearm Dealer License. All those are current and active for this particular facility. Likewise, they have their general business licensing in the state of Delaware as well, have operated in good standing, and really have a safe and top-notch facility there. Sound is always a concern. So there were some tests done. This is actually a typo that I had neglected to correct, but the test date was June 4th of 24, not 23. What you will see is that a sound meter here in the image, that's the actual meter, was used. It's a plus or minus 2 decibel accuracy on that meter on June 4th, 2024 at around 12:10 p.m. on a 80 degree normal day in the summer, 10 to 15 mile an hour wind. Mr. Bainey, Jeff, and Chad tested this. Chad at that time operated an FN SCAR 16 inch barrel semi-automatic rifle in the range, firing from the normal shooter position. Jeff then took readings of that. The ammunition that was used was the PMC X-TAC 62 grain, and it would be firing under that 3,000 feet muzzle velocity, but very close to it. So it was intended to pick a very fast round or close to that limit at 2,920 feet per second. The readings that were taken as a control measure, a conversation between Jeff and Chad, these gentlemen can talk loudly, but that was a 70 to 73 decibel reading at the conversation level between the two of them. The next reading on that list is showing you that these guys cut the lawn around that area with a Mahindra 2538 tractor. Some of the members on the board may be more versed in the horsepower of that tractor than I am, but I believe it's a 35, 40 horsepower tractor, somewhere in that range. So at idle speeds with that mower engaged, the reading on that sound meter was 77 to 79 decibels. Kick that up to a mowing RPM, 2100, you're gonna go up to 95 to 111 decibels. So when they're out there doing customary maintenance of their ground, mowing it weekly, or maybe more than weekly, they're hitting up to 111 decibels on that. The actual shooter inside the range, inside that block building, taken from just 5 feet behind them. I showed you that yellow line previously. They were basically standing inside of there. The reading was 116 decibels. Of most significant note here is you exit that building, you exit all of that sound ballistic baffling, and that reading drops down considerably to the level of a conversation. So taken from the parking lot behind that ballistic baffling and behind all that concrete blocking, you're gonna end up with a reading of 63 to 70 decibels. Going from that earthen berm over towards the houses, which is the one on the western side, if you were to take it from the inside edge of that berm, you're going to be looking at up to 79 decibels. go on the outside, you're dropping back down to 70 at the normal conversational level. If you take these readings from the property line just inside that vegetated buffer that I showed the image of before, which would be around the A and B location on the left-hand side of the screen or where the photographs are showing there, your readings are going to drop down all the way to the 60, high 50s, low 60s, low to mid 60 range. So again, rivaling a conversation at that point, given the sound protection that has been put into this particular building. Just to kind of wrap things up, the code sections that are most relevant here would be the special use provisions that, or special exception, excuse me, provisions that would permit rifle and pistol ranges or trap or skeet shooting. We're not doing any of that, but it would just be the rifle or pistol range section of this, both in 115.210 and 115.23, specific to an AR district. And based on all the reasons that I've said tonight, we do not feel that this particular use would have any substantial adverse effect on the neighboring properties. One last thing that I did not mention is hours of operation. We have agreed, or we are, I guess, proffering, we would suggest that the outdoor facility be permitted to operate from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, Monday being police use only at that point. The only reason that those hours of operation may need to be extended on Mondays, only four times a month, would be because there are certain occasions where the police officers have to train in low light conditions. So it would not be a frequent occurrence. Oftentimes they will go do their training in the classrooms of the indoor facility, use the indoor range, but they also have to train, as I understand it, in low light conditions for longer range firearms. And that would be a very limited use. In those occasions, that use would not extend beyond 9 p.m. And that would be just Mondays only. And that's only police use. So having said that, I'm going to ask Jeff to step up real quick for me. And you've heard the information that I've given here. Is everything that I've said accurate and complete?
Yes.
Okay. Anything you want to add to that?
Nope.
So I guess I will go ahead and submit this building drawing since I have it here in front of me. It was not in the materials. That drawing is the building that I showed you in the images, so I'm not sure how helpful that will be, but I'll give it to you nonetheless because it does have some dimensions on it. And I have nothing further.
Questions?
What's the largest caliber gun that you guys shoot on the range?
I'm going to have Jeff answer that.
The largest caliber. The largest caliber we shoot is 308.
Okay.
And I should add to that that the application for Whiskey Ridge, as I believe it was presented, suggested that they could shoot up to 50 caliber. So we're well below that at the point of a 308.
Sharp?
It's just looking, the staff provides a copy of the conditional use findings. And I noticed that the council had denied the conditional use for the outdoor shooting range. And they had some concerns about, it, in reading this, about the noise and the sound testing that had been conducted. Is the sound information that you provide to us the same that's presented to council, or is that different?
It is. The differences that exist are the hours of operation. Well, let me back up and say that our application for a special use exception is obviously unique from the conditional use because we wouldn't have permanence with a special use exception. So being a different standard and a different body, we don't feel as though we'd be precluded from having it granted to us here. We don't agree with the findings of the council, but we felt it better to approach it from the standpoint of pursuing this from what is envisioned under the code, because special use exceptions are expressly permitted there for ranges, rifle and pistol ranges. So it would have been nice for these gentlemen to have secured a conditional use and have some security in their investment. As you can see, this isn't just an earthen berm in a box where somebody's going out and shooting. There's been substantial investments in making something that is both safe and an asset to the community. So the sound readings are the same. We don't necessarily agree with their findings. We're going to be adding a significant tree planting within the area that is nearest to those adjacent houses, and the hours of operation are significantly less than what was requested during the conditional use process.
One thing I noticed on here was that council had concerns about the 8 different shooting positions, whereas the sound readings were taken as just one individual shooting a gun.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually neglected to mention that. And let me see if I can find my notes on this. So by no means am I a sound expert, but I'm going to, I'll highlight for you what my deep dive into that revealed. Okay, so it's a paradox of sound waves, and there's constructive interference. So essentially, as I understand it, sound waves can superimpose energy to create a new wave of double the amplitude. But the sound waves, it only happens in limited circumstances. The sound waves have to match, and then it'll double. It never goes more than double. So if you can envision everybody here being amazed by my presentation and clapping at the exact same time, it wouldn't be a magnitude of whatever, 20 times. At most, it would be 2. So the concept that any range could have a 14 or 10 multiplier it physically can't exist. So at most, 2 exact calibers with the exact wavelength would have to fire at the same time to match wavelengths to double.
And that's helpful, counsel. One thing I was looking at with the sound is there was reference to the neighbors and what the readings were there. And there was comparison there with talking and with lawn mowing going on. And, you know, obviously those numbers are, what you're saying is that shooting a gun would be consistent with like talking at a normal level outside a house. However, we've got hours of operation that are 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then longer hours another day of the week. So that sound of someone talking, same type of sound, could be the same for all that period of time where someone lives in a house nearby. Is the thought there that by taking some of these extra measures, such as the plantings and the raising of the berm, the reinforcing of the berm, that would reduce those? That number, has there been any research into that?
As I understand the question, so as far as reducing them beyond the sound readings that were presented tonight, beyond the level of a normal conversation, I'm not certain if they would or not. I guess the presumption on my part is that if the berm was increased in height or if it was more densely vegetated, that would absorb more sound, any sound-absorbing materials. To what quantity, I'm not exactly sure. I wouldn't be able to opine about that. But it bears mentioning that the only reason that we're here in front of any of the bodies at the county level is because of the commercial nature of this use. From a Second Amendment standpoint, if I owned this property in an AR district and I wanted to go in my backyard and fire a gun from 10 until 5, repeatedly 50 caliber gun, and I had an appropriate backstop, I would be permitted to do that. So the nature of this use is not unique from any AR property in the county. I would imagine if you went out in the middle of November to a lot of the farms around Sussex County, you'll hear quite a lot of shots going off at that point during the main hunting season as well. So this is a very controlled and safe environment. I do hear the concern. They have heard the concern, and they are trying to address that with as much mitigation as possible. I would have to believe, from a layperson's standpoint, that somebody firing a 50 caliber rifle in open air at the Whiskey Ridge Range would be equally or more loud than somebody firing from a contained building that has sound baffling and cement, like the one I showed you in that image.
Yeah, I understand, counsel. The one thing that was troubling was that this had been constructed, and apparently used. When this, the applicant came before the board in 2018 and specifically said, we're not doing outdoor shooting. It, was there a reason why, was there a miscommunication? Was it, I mean, I hate to think that somebody came up to the board and misrepresented something, but I was kind of curious as to why that came about.
Well, let me try, and if I do it ineffectively, then I'll defer.
Sure.
But so when the application was made in 2018, there was no intention to construct an outdoor range. I think that was what was submitted at the time of the request, that this was just an indoor range at that point. As these gentlemen developed their business, they began to realize that there was a very significant need for an outdoor range facility. So by submitting an 18 and saying that they were not then submitting an application, by no means did they mean to foreclose themselves from making that application at a later date, which they did. It's a very unfortunate circumstance where someone applies for a conditional use or a change of zone and has to wait 2 years to be heard. They saw a need for their business, and I don't mean that to be critical. The county's got a huge burden on them as far as what the caseload that they're dealing with. But they submitted the application before the expiration of their special use exception on the 5-year term to begin with, and there was a significant need for them to move forward for their business. So they did assume a big risk in doing that, and that's accepted.
Yeah, I guess my thought is, you know, how long has this thing been there?
Last 1 year.
Not 1 year.
No, it was not built after, in the 5-year period, it was not built.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was built recently.
All right. Have there been any complaints about the use of it during that period of time? And if you'd step up, just, we can't get a head nod on the
sure.
on the mic. So you've not heard any complaints from neighbors or anything in that interim
period? No complaints. I actually have some neighbors here.
Okay.
For it.
All right. And the how, because I know with these training courses, there's a lot of classroom time, and you know, then people kind of go on the range. How often is the range, and I'm talking about the outdoor range, obviously, how long is that live?
For training?
Yeah, how often are
people? So there's no CCW courses or any training done in the outdoor range.
Okay.
We have a very state-of-the-art indoor range that we have grown accustomed to air condition, and that's where we like to be. So we are indoor range facility. The outdoor range is for target shooting only.
Yeah, and I would imagine that the preference would be indoor range activity,
right?
From a, you know, you clean up the lead easier, you can manage the system better.
Exactly. So what, then I'm going to come out on the limb here, is what really started this whole outdoor is myself, retired from Department of Corrections. I was a firearm instructor there for 12 years. As we grew our business into what we have now, we got the need from police departments to have somewhere to go. And we cut our business hours down instead of making money to give this to these people, to give it to the departments. That's where we stepped in. The community had to step in. Somebody had to step in to give these guys something. Now, am I going to say that I'm not having a business here as well? I'm not going to say that, but I'm giving my Mondays an 8-hour day or a 9-hour day to make money. I'm giving it to the police departments so they can come in here and shoot. And that's where we saw the need, and that's where the building was built. And to be honest with you, we built the building to show people what an outdoor range should look like instead of picnic tables and a backstop. And that's why we built it the way we built it.
How many hours in a week would you say the outdoor range averages?
About 3.5 to 4 hours a week. I mean, I'm sorry, 3.5 to 4 hours a day.
Okay.
Other times than that, that's why we have 17 people that work at range time. We don't staff a person down there constantly. They're intercommed in, or they call in that they want to use the outdoor range, and they go down there. We don't staff a person down there because, especially in the wintertime, I mean, weather's bad. Summertime, it's super hot. Both the outdoor range has explosion-proof ventilations on it to pull the – our biggest thing when we built this business was safety of employees and safety of the public. We built the outdoor range with explosion-proof ventilated fans that pull the guns, the powder and gun smoke away from the shooter, and it also gives them fresh air. But it's still hot in the summertime. So we – on average, shoot 3.5-4 hours a day. If you're going to put everything together, it might be certain times, it's like somebody's holding a stop sign down at the end of the road. You never, we're just trying to get an idea of when we're going to be busy and when we're not going to be busy. We just get in waves. We do not staff a person down there full-time. It doesn't make financial sense or business sense to put somebody down there and pay them just to sit. So the outdoor range is not, it could be, but is not a nine-hour-a-day shooting facility. It just doesn't happen that way. A lot of times, I mean, it's indoor ranges is our bread and butter. That's where everybody goes. That's why it almost has 1,300 members in there. But the outdoor range is something for just somebody who's just trying to learn or tune themselves, or we feel, and we've talked with Hunter Education, the marksman class or the shooting class that's going, now that Delaware has adopted straight wall pistol cartridges, nobody's doing 25-yard shots anymore. They're doing 100, 150, 200, 250, up to 300 yards. They need somewhere to go to sight these rifles in instead of a person just going off the side of the road near the state land, putting a target on a tree and shooting without knowing what's behind it or what's in front of it. We're giving them that opportunity.
I think if my recollection was right, Mr. Smith said that it was about 330 feet deep from around there.
Yeah, so it's from the shooter, it's a 100-yard target. So we built the berms back. We built the berms bigger than what the target envelope is, so we can have sound abatement behind the building. And then the berm itself is 60 feet deep, so that gives us our depth that we need on our berms. Our berms are 60 foot wide.
Okay. All right. I have no further questions. Thank you. Oh, I did have one. Mr. Smith made some additional statements, and do you affirm those as correct as well?
As
everything I said.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. All right. You had said that before, but then he made some additional ones, so we'll make sure the record's covered.
I'm a firearm guy. I'm not a...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Sharp, I just want to make sure I'm clear. You had said something about the days of operation. Again, just to be clear and make sure that we're on the same page. We're seeking to have the range operate, so with the exception...
I think it said 5 days. I meant six, and then Mondays for the...
Correct, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, 6 days of private or I should say public operation, but it's a private business, 1 day reserved for police use only, so 7 days total. Just wanted to make sure we're clear.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to address. You had a question. You had, my name's Lloyd Bainey.
Sure.
I'm one of the owners. And you asked whether we, when we first applied for this, whether we would be shooting outdoors. And we had no plans at that time to do outdoors. And what brought this around was the few shooting ranges that were around, people were standing shoulder to shoulder with no barriers between them. And I don't want to say they don't know any better, but they didn't know any better. You know, this is a state-of-the-art facility. It's a very, very safe facility. And once the general public got in and they'd seen what a safe facility is, they said, why don't you have an outdoor range? You know, we'd like to have some place to shoot outdoors, and that's the reason we proceeded with the outdoor range. And it's just, actually, my sons and I, we were traveling out of state to shoot because I couldn't shoot in any places around here. I can't shoot beside somebody that I don't know if they're capable, they're safe, but our facility is absolutely safe, state of the art.
Questions? Does that complete your presentation?
It does, yes, thank you.
Okay, you can take a seat. Is there anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case?
Jason Lovins, 402 Evergreen Road, South Bethany. I'm currently the chief of...
Guys, where are you? You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir, I do.
Thank you.
I currently serve as a chief of police in South Bethany. Over the last 3 years, there's been a significant amount of police reform and additional mandated training amongst our law enforcement community. I agree with the majority of that mandated training. The issues I have with it is it came with no additional funding to pay for it and no facilities to train for it. There's not one single training facility in Sussex County for law enforcement until these guys came along. they've been a godsend for us. I've been in law enforcement for 30 years, 5 years active military before that. I've been a firearms instructor and tactics instructor for 24 years. I've been on shooting ranges from the Philippine Islands to Fort Knox, Kentucky, Virginia, Ohio, Illinois, and that, their range is probably the most professional, well-thought-out, safe range I've ever seen. I thank you all for what you're doing. So I got.
Anyone else present who would like to speak in favor? Mr. Sharp, I'll get you sworn in.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Nick Yotsko. Work at Lewis Police Department, 114 East 3rd Street, Delaware.
And Casey Krapps, also 114 East 3rd Street, Lewis, Delaware.
And you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. And just state your name again when you're testifying.
Of course. My name is Nick Yotsko. This is Casey Krapps. We both work for the Lewis Police Department. We are the fire instructors for Lewis Police Department. In the past 10 years, Sussex County is changing, obviously. Along with, the chief said, police reform, we are mandated to do a lot of training. This is the fourth facility, and we are hoping the final facility we've used in the past 10 years. We've tried three other places, haven't worked out for us. It's either too small, or it's just not the right place. It's not safe enough. We just can't get it right. It's kind of like a three little pig situation. It's just about, you know, where we fit in, where we settle in. These guys do a great job with the facility. They're very welcoming. We can find a safe place and an effective place for us to conduct our firearm instruction, and our guys can maintain their certifications effectively. And that's why we're here, because, you know, we appreciate what they do for us and what we have at the moment. Thank you all.
Casey Krapps. Also, within the past year that they have been open with the outdoor range, we've been able to increase our training time that we've been able to give our guys, probably doubled it, tripled it, and that just increases the quality of police officer you get, and that increases the level of police performance that Sussex County gets. Thank you.
I do have a question. The applicant mentioned, and you could ask answers to your officer, is that they do low light conditions, and that you all are required by your training to do that. Low light, we're talking right at dusk, we're talking before dusk. What type of low light are we looking at from a time perspective?
Pretty much right at dusk. We like to try to get in, start the shoot, the qual, right at dusk, so it falls pretty much dark at towards the end of it, so the officers get to kind of shoot in a variety of light.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor?
Bud Sipple, 38481 Parker Road, Millsboro, Delaware.
Tatum Kane, 38481 Parker Road, Millsboro, Delaware.
And you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
So we live right beside range time. We're inside the house. Everybody's complaining about the sound and stuff. And we can have dead silence in the house. We do not hear that gun range one bit. It's a well-ran facility. And I don't see why people are complaining about the sound at all.
Where, just from a map perspective, where are you in relation to that?
We're
the first house.
Yeah, the first house.
Okay. All right. Okay, and closest to where the guns would be shot from.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
So you're the one that actually has a partial view of the building?
Yes.
Okay.
Speak to the sound. We have a three-year-old wiener dog, and if you've ever met a wiener dog, they like to bark at everything. Same dog that when we lived in our apartment would yap at if somebody was walking above us. The guns can be fired all day long, and neither of our dogs bark at a single thing.
Do you think it affects your daily life? Does it, day to day, you're the closest as anybody to it? Doesn't affect your day-to-day?
Dad asleep, it won't wake us up. We can have the windows open, does not wake us up.
We're outside, we'll have people over while the gun range is operating. If anything, the outdoor range very rarely is, like, packed. Like, there's maybe one or two cars back there at any given time in the middle of the day. So we'll be outside grilling or doing whatever, and you can't really hear anything.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? I don't see anybody else. Is there anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? See anybody? Any further questions from the board? Nope. At this time, we will close the public hearing for case number 13041, Delmarva Armory LLC, and looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move that we approve case number 13041 for Delmarva Armory LLC for the request of special use exemption pending a final written decision based upon the record made during this public hearing. Because the proposed use of this will not substantially affect adversely the use of the neighboring or adjacent properties. Assuming we're going to go for 5 years.
That's your call.
As part of this motion, I move that we approve this for a valid period of 5 years.
Sharp, do we need to specify the hours of operation or days or anything, or is that just, it's in the written statement?
They did proffer some points. You could make conditions on that approval. You are entitled to do that. So if there's conditions that the board felt comfortable, you could do that.
Okay. All right, so we got a motion. We're looking for a second.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Dr. Carson.
Voting aye.
Mr. Williamson.
Aye.
Mr. Lemguth.
Aye, for my reasons.
And I too. So with a vote of 4-0, case number 13041 is approved.